Hi. How are you, everybody? Welcome back to the show. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate studio on the seventh floor of the Trib Tower here till 5 a.m., as we are every weekday morning. And Steve Grzanich with the opening bell at 5, and then kicking off your weekend morning, your Friday morning, is the great Steve Cochran at 6, 312-981-7200 for talk and text. Coming up, we've got all of our regular features, Fly Jams Friday. DJ Shagru will be here, Viggity Viggity Vic, Verified Double V, Esmeralda the Heart, Melda, Wiki Wiki Nikki. We're all going to be here, and we're all going to play some funky music and talk about it as well. And get your requests in, 312-981-7200 for Fly Jams Friday. Also, You Big Dummy. That's where we read real news stories about real dumb people doing real dumb stuff. And we vote on the biggest dummy. And, of course, straight out of context, Nick D Show Spies. All of that is coming up, so stay tuned right here on WGN. All right, you know how there have been a lot of movies that were announced that were going to be made and then never got made? And sometimes it was good that they weren't going to get made because it was just a bad idea in general. And sometimes they're good ideas that we would have liked to have seen. So I have 16 of these movies that we'll never see, but at one time they were going to be made. And so some of these are really interesting. And, you know, it's always weird when a movie that you hear about you want to see and it never happens. For instance, there was if you guys know the movie Bubba Hotep, Bubba Hotep is directed by my friend Don Coscarelli, the director and creator of Phantasm. And Bubba Hotep is this amazing movie starring the great Bruce Campbell and Ossie Davis. Esmeralda, have you ever seen Bubba Hotep?
You know, I haven't.
No. I bet V has. My guess
is I'm sure he has.
That Birthday Boy has seen Bubba Hotep. This is describing Bubba Hotep to people is difficult because it's about a guy, Elvis Presley. In fact, he didn't die, and in this movie, he is in an old folks' home in Texas. He switched places with an Elvis impersonator so he could live a normal life. It's the Elvis impersonator who actually died. So Elvis lived, and now he's in this really crummy old folks home. And the old folks home is being haunted by a mummy that sucks old people's souls out of their body through their butts. And Ossie Davis plays John F. Kennedy. Just let that sink in. Let that sink in for a couple of minutes. That's the plot of the movie. And it is obviously incredibly original. Also hilarious. One of Bruce Campbell's best performances. It's scary. And it's also really, really surprisingly touching. And the chemistry between Ossie Davis and Bruce Campbell is amazing. So the movie was great. It kind of came out of nowhere. It was made on a minuscule budget, and it's become like a cult classic that people really, really love. And Don did a great job making it. So as soon as Bubba Hotep became like sort of this success, they announced Bubba Nosferatu, where it was going to be Elvis takes on vampires. And it was going to have Paul Giamatti play Colonel Parker, Elvis's manager. And when they announced this, everybody went nuts, and it was almost a done deal, and then it fell through. So that's the kind of stuff I'm talking about. Is like, it's like, who doesn't want a sequel to Bubba Hotep, especially if Paul Giamatti is going to play the Colonel? I mean, bringing Bruce Campbell back as Elvis is genius, and then having Paul Giamatti play the Colonel would have been amazing. But it didn't happen. So here are some other ones that didn't happen. Darren Aronofsky's The Wolverine. As far as X-Men movies goes, The Wolverine wasn't bad, but we can't help wondering what would happen if director Darren Aronofsky hadn't left the project. The mind behind Requiem for a Dream and The Fountain could have given a pretty trippy and emotional Wolverine adventure. That would have been pretty cool to see Darren Aronofsky make a Wolverine movie. Now, the one that actually, was made was good, but it would have been, I think, a lot more interesting. Darren Aronofsky had made it. The guy also directed Black Swan, which is one of the craziest movies ever made. I was watching one of those things on, you know, on YouTube where they have like Watch Mojo, where they have like these videos where they go, okay, here's this video is going to be the 10 best scripts of all time. And then they'll play clips from the movie and have a guy narrating them. And I watched one the other day, which was the scariest scenes from movies that were not horror movies. So the scariest scenes from movies that weren't horror. And they included a scene from they included the transformation sequence at the end of Black Swan. And I'm like, wait, what? But Black Swan's a horror movie. So that doesn't fit into that category because Black Swan is a horror movie. I know that it, you know, it won Academy Awards and all that stuff. But, you know, no matter how you dress it up, Black Swan is a horror movie. Dan, have you seen Black Swan?
I have, yes, excellent.
It's a great movie. Esmeralda, have you seen it?
No, I haven't.
Oh, it's so good. And it's creepy as hell. I mean, really, really creepy. So, David Fincher was supposed to do Mission Impossible 3. Could you imagine David Fincher making a Mission Impossible movie? I think it'd be great, because everything David Fincher makes is great, except for that Benjamin Button movie. It's the only one of his movies I don't like. I love every other one of his movies. I'm including Alien 3 in that because I like Alien 3. But the Benjamin Button movie, man. It says, we're happy with Mission Impossible 3 that we got, but it's impossible to wonder what would have happened if the original director hadn't dropped out. He would have had a darker, more grounded take, and it was supposed to co-star Scarlett Johansson and Kenneth Branagh as the bad guy. Ghostbusters 3. That's been batted around for many, many, many years. And we did get the reboot last year with the ladies, which I loved. But 80s fanatics will forever be haunted by the specter of Ghostbusters movie that never was. Rumors of Ghostbusters 3 featuring the original cast swirled for decades, but they never quite came to pass, mainly because Bill Murray showed little interest in being Peter Venkman again. And also, Harold Ramis died. There was a script that was going around for a really long time, and then Harold Ramis passed away. And I think, you know, they were going to try to do Ghostbusters 3 without Harold Ramis, which would have been, I think, a disaster. Indiana Jones and the City of Gods. The fourth Indiana Jones movie had a long, rocky road to the big screen, and in the end, most fans hated it. Yeah, that was a... What was it called? Crystal Skull? The Kingdom? Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, right? That's what it's called, right? What a terrible movie that was, man. I vividly remember going to see that one, man. We went, when it came out, it came out in 2008. And all of my friends were all like, okay, it's a new Indiana Jones movie. I didn't like the third. I'm in the minority. I don't like the third one with Sean Connery. I know a lot of people love it. I didn't like it. But I was still looking forward to it because it was an Indiana Jones movie, you know? And Karen Allen was going to be back, which is, oh my God, Karen Allen's in the movie. That was the big draw for me. So I remember we all met at Ricochet's in Lincoln Square. We all met at Ricochet's, and about eight of us, including my ex-wife. And, we have a few cocktails. We walk down to the Davis, and about a half an hour into the movie, we're all sitting in a row. We all just kind of started leaning over and looking at each other like, what the hell is this? Esmeralda, did you see the fourth Indiana Jones movie, The Crystal Skull?
No, I haven't.
Don't bother. Dan, you've seen it, right?
I have, yes.
Oh, my God. And that term, what is it called? Nuke the fridge, right? Isn't that like...
Right,
it's
became popular because of that movie.
Right, because it's like jumping the shark. It's like jumping the shark, nuke the fridge. Because Indiana Jones survives a nuclear bomb by hiding in an old refrigerator. Because, you know, that works. Let's see. To add insult to injury, apparently there was a much better script, and in 2002, writer Frank Darabont penned a screenplay entitled Indiana Jones and the City of Gods, which would have offered a very different take on Indy's 1950s escapades. Harrison Ford and Steven Spielberg apparently loved the script, but George Lucas didn't, and that's why we have Mutt Williams now. Oh, George Lucas. Jeez. All right. Hey, let's take a break. We've got some callers calling in. And if you guys remember hearing about movies that you were looking forward to that never saw the light of day, I've got a few more here that could have been. We could have had an intelligent Indiana Jones 4, but we got Nuke the Fridge. So All right. We'll take a break here on 720 WGN. Come back and we've got more. 312-981-7200 for more. Mm-hmm. Hey, welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. Hi, we're live in the Allstate studio on the 7th floor of Trip Tower. We're here till 5 a.m. It's Friday. Fly Jams Friday. Fly Jams Friday will commence a little bit later on. Get your Fly Jam requests in, 312-981-7200. Straight out of context, Nick D. Show Spies and You Big Dummy coming up in just a little bit. Right now, though, we're talking about movies that could have been but weren't. 312-981-7200 is the number if you would like to join us to see if there were some other movies that that were in the pipeline that never happened and you were looking forward to, but they're not going to happen. 312-981-7200. Christopher Nolan's take on James Bond was going to happen, but it didn't. Director Christopher Nolan's love of the James Bond franchise is pretty obvious, as the Dark Knight trilogy can be viewed as a version of Bond. Sadly, it doesn't seem as though Sony and MGM have much interest in tapping Nolan for the franchise. But in another reboot looming, there's hope that Nolan and perhaps Tom Hardy will eventually be given keys to the Aston Martin. Oh, Dan, see, now that would, Dan, don't you think that would, like, really reboot the series for especially after this last, because what was the last one?
Spectre.
Ugh.
Yeah, no, I mean, just the curiosity factor alone, I think, would bring a lot of people who would be like, all right, I'm done with that franchise for now.
Yeah.
Come back.
Well, you know, the thing about the James Bond franchise is it's never going to go away. It's never going to go away. It will wane in popularity for a while. People will say, oh, that's the end of it. And then you'll either get a new director, a new Bond, and then there's interest in it again. It's happened countless times. Well, not countless, but it's happened many times during the course of the life of this character as a movie. So it could happen. But, you know, I've heard complaints. People are like, yeah, no, Tom Hardy's too short to play Bond. What, are you kidding me? He's Tom Hardy. I mean, come on. So, long as he doesn't have that face thing on and talk like Bane, then it'll be okay. So, all right, here's Patrick on WGN. Hey, Patrick.
Hey, Nick, how you doing, buddy?
Good.
Good. You know, if they show Tom Hardy doing kind of like that beatdown scene from Legendary as Bond, that's all you need.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah.
Seriously. Tom Hardy rules, man. Tom Hardy rules.
He's the best. He's the best.
He is, man. He is. You know, I missed yesterday. I was going to talk to you about Misery and the Mist, but that's another discussion for another time.
Yeah.
Movies. George Romero, I could have swore he was tapped to direct the very first Resident Evil movie.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think you're right. I remember, if I remember correctly, there was either at least a rumor that Romero was going to try and do the Resident Evil.
Yeah, could you imagine what that would have been like had he gotten his hands on that?
Oh, yeah, it would have been good.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's a guilty pleasure. The whole series is a guilty pleasure for me. Plus, I played the video games. And
yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, I liked it. You know, of course, I got a crush on Mila Jovovich, so that's another discussion. But,
yeah.
You know, it would have been a whole just different movie altogether. And probably even more social commentary since it's talking about bioweapons. You know,
right.
The whole movie's about bioweapons.
Right.
Interesting thing, too. Also, you know the movie Game of Death, Bruce Lee?
Of course.
Was incomplete.
Yes.
Now, have you ever seen a Warrior's Journey, which is a documentary about Bruce Lee, and it ends with 20 minutes of found footage that they were able to put together from the Game of Death that showed how he intended the movie to be?
I've not seen what you're talking about, Patrick. I've not seen the documentary that you're talking about, but I know of the footage, and I know what the movie was supposed to be, and it would have been amazing.
Right.
It would have been amazing.
It's so amazing, because even in that alone, there are scenes of subtle humor, you know, because he was with two other guys and they were fighting those three masters.
Right.
And the one guy snuck past and ran up to face Kareem Abdul-Jabbar while Bruce was fighting another guy. And in the middle of Bruce's fight, he stops because the guy's upstairs fighting Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and Kareem's stomping on the floor and the whole building is shaking and dust is falling down. And Bruce just kind of stops and looks up like, what in the hell?
Yeah.
But just the facial expression was awesome. And it was, like I said, just a little subtle humor. It would have been so much better than what Golden Harvest spliced together from Return of the Dragon and tried to pass off as a new movie.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, and put the guy in the with the motorcycle helmet on that wasn't
right. He has a motorcycle helmet and the look-alike.
Right.
The look-alike, you know?
Right. Yeah. Right. Sure. All right. Patrick, thanks, man. Have a great weekend, buddy.
You do the same. Thanks.
All right, man. See you. Bye. Yeah. George Romero in charge of Resident Evil. It would have been an entirely different movie, clearly. So, how about James Cameron's take on Spider-Man? I don't remember James Cameron attached to Spider-Man. Had things worked out differently, director James Cameron might have managed to kickstart the superhero craze a decade sooner. James Cameron's pitch for Spider-Man in the 90s sounded a little iffy in hindsight, but who knows? He's the man behind the Terminator and Aliens. Oh, hey, Terminator! Hey! I know that movie! Dan, do you know the movie The Terminator?
I've heard it's a good movie, but it's a long time since I've seen it on the big screen.
Well, you could rectify that situation this Tuesday night, the 9th, because I happen to be hosting a screening of the original Terminator in digital 4K glory in the giant premiere theater at the Movie Co. Theater in Rosemont. And parking is free. It's 11 and a quarter to get in. And because, you know, the Movie Co. Theater in Rosemont is undergoing different management, AMC has purchased the theater from Carmike. Carmike used to run it. Now AMC runs it. We've been having some difficulty with our pre-sale ticket orders. The website's not been updated. So, but be assured that it's happening, and you can get your tickets at the door. So it's Tuesday night. Go to the second floor, Bogart's Restaurant, have some dinner at around 7. At 8 o'clock, we'll show the movie. It's 11 and a quarter to get in. Parking is free. And it's a beautiful, you know, remastered 4K print. And I will introduce it at 8 o'clock, and then the movie will play. We'll have a great time watching it. The original awesome Terminator with Michael Biehn, Linda Hamilton, and Arnold Schwarzenegger, and the great Lance Henriksen, the late, great Paul Winfield. And we'll talk about it afterwards and have a great time. So get your tickets. You can check out Fandango.com because I'm told that at some point before Tuesday, the advance ticket sales will be going and will be fixed. But because the website's been, you know, changing management, the theater's been changing management, it's been a little askew for this one. But we'll get it all fixed. And be assured that if you don't pre-order your tickets, you can get them at the door. They are available at the theater. So come on out Tuesday. Let's pack the place for the Terminator, the original Terminator, on the big screen. It's going to be a great time. So check out Fandango.com or just show up at the Movie Co. Theater in Rosemont on Tuesday night, and we'll have a great time. All right, we got to take a break. We have the news coming up next on 720 WGN. Yeah, man. Hey, good morning, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. Fly Jams Friday. Coming up in a little bit, 312-981-7200 is the phone number. We also have You Big Dummy, Straight Out of Context, Nick D Show Spies all coming up. Right now we're talking about movies that never happened. Like, we thought they were going to happen. We really wanted them to happen. They sound really cool, and it just didn't happen. 312-981-7200. Here's an interesting one. Steven Spielberg's take on James Bond. Dan, I didn't know this. This is really kind of interesting.
It is. You know, it kind of makes sense considering how big he was and that franchise was at the time.
Yeah. Add Steven Spielberg to the list of big-name directors who tried and failed to direct a Bond movie. Spielberg revealed that he offered his services twice in the late 70s, but despite the success of Jaws and Close Encounters of the Third Kind, he was rejected both times. That's crazy. In the late 70s. See, that's the time. I mean, Roger Moore was Bond during that time period. So they say no to Steven Spielberg, and then they make Moonraker. What the hell? Dan, can you look up who directed Moonraker? I want to say it was John Glenn, not the astronaut. I think it was a guy named John Glenn who directed that movie. One of the worst Bond, perhaps the worst Bond movie of all time. Moonraker. And I remember it came out summer of 1979. So, no, Spielberg, we don't need your help after you've directed Close Encounters of the Third Kind and Jaws. No. And Duel.
Lewis Gilbert
directed that one. There is a guy named John Glenn who directed some Bond movies. I don't think I'm making this up. I don't think it's a figment of my imagination.
For Your Eyes Only, and The Living Daylights, and Octopussy are his screen credits.
Okay. He did The Living Daylights? Wow. All right. That's a Dalton movie. I thought he was just Moore. But yeah, Spielberg, no, we don't need that. We got Moonraker. We don't need Steven Spielberg. Have you ever seen Moonraker, Dan?
I have not.
Esmeralda, you're not a I'm assuming you're not a Bond girl.
I've seen a few of the older Sean Connery ones.
Yeah, those are the good ones.
Yeah, but I actually haven't seen any of the
Roger Moore?
No.
Yeah. Unfortunately, that's the Bond of my teenage years.
Yeah, I've managed to avoid them.
Yeah. So a couple of them are good. Live and Let Die is good. Live and Let Die is good. And you mentioned For Your Eyes Only. That's pretty good. Like, Moonraker, though, is just unwatchable. I mean, it's James Bond in space. Whenever you're desperate, send someone to space. Remember they sent Jason to space? Remember there was a Jason movie where he was in space?
He has other things than humans to kill.
I guess. Jason in space. I remember when it came out, I was like, are you kidding me?
Did James Bond still have a martini in
space? You know what? I think he did. Before he went to space, I believe. Or maybe he had a space martini. I'm not really sure.
I imagine he just floats around drinking a martini.
You know, you should look at the poster for it. If I'm not mistaken, like, Roger Moore is in like an astronaut suit and he's got his gun. I can't. And he's surrounded by astronaut women. It is really, truly one of the worst ever. Vic, did you ever get into the Bond movies? Were you a Bond guy?
I'm not a big fan now.
Yeah.
But more so, actually, the more contemporary Bond movies.
Yeah, the Daniel Craig.
Yeah.
Yeah, Daniel Craig is great.
He's great. I really like those.
He's great. And I actually like Timothy Dalton. I know a lot of people didn't, but I like Timothy Dalton.
I did not like Pierce Brosnan.
Pierce Brosnan,
yeah.
No. GoldenEye was pretty cool, but he wasn't the best. He got it because of Remington Steele. Because he was Remington Steele on TV.
Exactly right.
That's why they gave him. Look at Esmeralda going.
That's right.
Esmeralda going nuts over Remington Steele. What?
She's fist pumping in there.
There was a summer when I was visiting my cousins in California.
Yeah.
And they're all older than me, so I had no one to hang out with. And instead, I just watched Remington Steele every afternoon. So I got really into it.
Yeah. All right. Boy, you were really going nuts there when I mentioned Remington Steele.
Because there was a whole summer.
Wow.
Every afternoon.
Nothing but
on.
Remington Steele with Pierce Brosnan.
Yeah,
and
watching
Stephanie,
my stories.
Stephanie Zimbalist.
Watching my stories.
Watching your stories. All right, that's funny. I would never have expected Esmeralda to react the way she reacted to Remington Steele. It's just...
Or anyone else for that matter.
To react in that way to Remington Steele. There was like a lot of celebration and fist bumping, everybody.
Fond memories.
Yeah. It's like suddenly the traffic hut starts shaking because Esmeralda's going nuts in there because of Remington Dam Steele. Anyway, stay away from Moonraker. If you can see the poster, I'm going to have to look up the poster because I think he's in like a... Got like a helmet on and the...
He's pointing a gun at you.
Oh, is he? Well, yes. that's not uncommon in the...
And lovely... Oh, and the guy with the teeth is floating around.
Oh, Jaws.
Yes.
Richard Kiel, yeah. God, I forgot he was in that one, too. So, yeah, terrible. So, yeah, turn down Spielberg. We got Moonraker, man. By the way, Moonraker came out the same summer as Prophecy, another movie that we mentioned a little earlier. All right, here's one that I just find insane. David Lynch's Return of the Jedi. Return of the Jedi is pretty widely regarded as the relatively weak link in the original Star Wars trilogy. But would it have been the case if David Lynch had accepted George Lucas's offer to direct? Maybe, maybe not. But we'd sure love to see Lynch's weird psychedelic take on the franchise. First of all, the fact that George Lucas knows who David Lynch is mind-boggling to me. Second of all, the fact that George Lucas offered David Lynch the project is also mind-boggling to me. I just don't. George Lucas is as far removed from David Lynch as any filmmaker could ever possibly be. I would have loved to have seen how he handled the Ewoks. They would have all been sucking on oxygen masks and gas masks and screaming mommy. there'd be little people walking and talking backwards and stuff. It would have been fantastic. All right. So there are some of those movies, great ideas and great movies that never happened. Oh, I got one more real quick. Edgar Wright's Ant-Man. Edgar Wright, the director of the Cornetto trilogy, World's End, Hot Fuzz, Shaun of the Dead. His new movie is called Baby Driver, by the way, and it looks great. As much as we love the Marvel Cinematic Universe, it's not always a welcoming place for directors who prefer creative control. That's something Edgar Wright learned the hard way. After spending years working on the film, he ultimately departed. Ant-Man would have ended up being a base hit, but it might have scored a special and unique spot had Wright stayed on board. If you actually watch Ant-Man, and I recommend Ant-Man, I think Ant-Man's a fun movie. Dan, you've seen it, right?
Yeah, it's a great movie.
It's terrific. It's really funny and really good, and Paul Rudd is really terrific in it. Esmeralda, have you seen it?
You know, I haven't.
Yeah, it's good. And Paul Rudd is great as Ant-Man. It still has a little bit of that because he wrote the script, and they rewrote it and rewrote it. But there's a little bit of Edgar Wright in that movie, man. You can see it. There are scenes in that movie where you go, yeah, that's Edgar Wright. So, all right, we got a break. We're going to do weather, traffic, and then we'll come back, and it's time for You Big Dummy.